Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18 to 21, the commandment of the fullness of the Spirit. The commandment of the fullness of the Spirit. Maybe, no, then I stay too far from you. I don't like, maybe like here. Yeah. Everybody can see here? Yes? Okay, good. This is better. Then you can see me. I'll have, you know, after I'll need Voltaren. So let us read. Verse 18. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Very short reading. The commandment of the fullness of the Spirit. Last week we saw fruit of light. This week we see the fullness of the Spirit. And next week I spared, you see how I am good for the Father's Day? I spared the husband and wife subject for next week. Because it might be some, you know, harsh conversations during the sermon. You should do this. Why are you talking to your wife like that? All of that, you know. So today it's celebration. So know this subject to the next week. But you know, I didn't know it was Father's Day, so it wasn't me. It was Grace. All that to say, if you pay attention, it is like a hamburger. A bun, a meat, and the bun. First bun, fruit of light. The meat, fullness of the Spirit. Last bun, house, husband and wife. What is the Bible in chapter 5 trying to tell us? If you're not filled with the Spirit, it is hard to be fruit of life. It is hard to bear light. If you're not filled with the Spirit, it is hard to have the house that the Lord called us to have, husband and wife. It all depends on these, verse 18 to 21, the meat, the heart, the foundation, the fullness of the Spirit. Okay? Ephesians chapter 5, no, Ephesians chapter 1, the first time I preached the sermon about Ephesians as we start the letter, the Apostle Paul says that we are sealed by the Spirit. We are sealed with the Holy Spirit once we believe. Do you remember that? If you believe in Christ, the Holy Spirit comes dwell in you. Now the Apostle Paul is going to show us another thing. You need to be filled with the Spirit. Okay? Now comes the baptism moment. Here is a cup, which represents our lives. Once you believe, you are sealed by the Spirit. Okay? Without the Spirit, life is empty. With the Spirit, life is awesome. But now the Apostle Paul is going to show us another thing. You don't stop in the sealing. You don't stop in the dwelling. You don't stop in the presence. You want to be filled. And I'll save some water for myself. You need to overflow. This is what it means, the fullness of the Spirit. Is this image clear? It's this. You are overflowing so much to the point that everybody around you is gonna get the spill. You can't contain. It's controlling you. It's governing you. It's doing everything. It's more of the water than of the cup. It's more of the Spirit than yourself. You are overflowing. You are filled with the Spirit. Don't stop in the ceiling. Fulfill yourself in the fullness. Oh, you missed the presentation, Leo. Look. Spills, overflows. I can't forget Robin. So, you are overflowing, okay? That's what the Apostle Paul wants to tell us. It is possible to be born by the Spirit, baptized by the Spirit, dwelled by the Spirit, and yet never be filled with the Spirit. Living a shallow life, living a shallow Christianity, okay? So the Apostle Paul is telling us, if the Spirit dwells in you, let Him govern your life. Let Him overflow you. With that being said, our first point, which is the fullness of the Spirit. Let us read verse 18. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Some people get offended that the Apostle Paul uses drunkenness as a comparison to the fulfillment of the Spirit, because it's completely opposite things. One, it's the Holy Spirit, He's holy. The other, it's wine and drunkenness. How could these two be together? But what the Apostle Paul is doing, it's he does a very shallow similarity, very superficial comparison, but he makes a deep contrast. And that's why he can use this illustration. What is the shallow and small similarity? If you are drunk, you are under the influence. If you overflow with the Spirit, you are under the influence. One, it's under the influence of what? The other, it's under the influence of who? This is the first similarity. Second similarity, there will be some outcomes. If you are drunk, you're going to have an outcome. If you're filled with the Spirit, you're going to have also an outcome. Okay? There is results. If you're under the influence of wine or if you're under the influence of the Spirit. These are the two similarities. Very, very shallow. Very superficial. But now comes the real thing. The contrast. If you get drunk on wine, it brings debauchery. And this is the contrast, that it's huge. What is the Apostle Paul saying? If you are drunk, you lose self-control. If you're filled with the Spirit, you gain self-control. Fruit of Galatians, the fruit of the Spirit, love, peace, and self-control. So look at the deep contrast of the outcomes. If you are drunk, you lose your self-control. If you are under the influence of the Spirit, if you're filled with the Spirit, you gain your self-control. This is the first deep contrast. And now there is the second deep contrast. It leads to debauchery. And what is that teaching us? This control, as we told before, waste and problems. Every person who is defeated by wine, who is defeated by alcohol, who loves alcohol too much to the point that the alcohol gets the control of their lives and their actions, they're going to be lost, waste, and problems. First one, very clear and easy, waste of money. Second one, very clear and easily, waste of energy. And third one, that it's the most painful, waste of relationships. Probably you know, I know, people where families are destroyed because of the love of wine, because of the love of drunkenness, because of the lack of self-control. It is a waste. It brings debauchery. It brings the problem. One side of the contrast. Look at now the deep contrast that Paul makes with the fullness of the Holy Spirit. To be filled with the Spirit, speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, sing and making music in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Once you're under the influence of the Spirit, it comes relationships restoration, it comes self-control, and it comes peace. If you go to a house, the presence, an environment where there is the influence of the Spirit, that person, that community is filled with the Spirit, they are overflowing, just like this cup is overflowing with water, you're going to leave that place in peace. You're going to be treated with honor. You're going to leave that place refreshed. Instead of wasting your energy and time, you're gaining your energy and your time. These are the deep contrasts. Okay? This is the fullness of the Spirit. You are under the influence of the Spirit. The Spirit is governing your life. You get your self-control, but look at how beautiful it is. It's not that you get your self-control, it's that He controls you. Why? Because you are more filled with Him than with yourself. So He is in governance. So He is in control. So this is the fulfillment, the fullness of the Spirit. And that's what the Apostle Paul is telling us to walk every single day. Let us see the benefits of the fulfillment of the Spirit. Second point, the benefits of the fulfillment of the Spirit. Verse 19, speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 21, submit one another out of reverence for Christ. If you see there, verse 19 talks about fellowship. Verse 20 talks about gratitude. And verse 21 talks about submission. These are the benefits of the fulfillment of the Spirit. Fellowship, gratitude, and submission. And I don't know if it amazes you as much as amazes me. But when we think about greatness or accomplishment or a wonderful life, a powerful life, a happy life, whatever name you want to give to that special life, we always think about mighty man. Mighty woman, look at what he did, look at what he does, look at how many followers, look at how much this Babylonian thing that you think you are greater than anything. You want to be like Nebuchadnezzar, you want to be the greatest, and you want Babylonian kingdom to be the greatest, and you want to be the great. You see that the fulfillment of the Spirit leads us to another direction. Fellowship, thanksgiving, and submission. Think about these three, and you see that you lose your ego power. Fellowship means that you are not sufficient on your own. Right? Thanksgiving means that you're not sufficient on your own. Why? Because you need to be very humble to say thank you to someone who did something for you. Submission leads you to not being self-ego thing. Why? Because you're not the boss. So the Holy Spirit and the fullness of the Spirit leads you to that direction. Opposite of what we think, opposite of what our world claims to be a filled life, a purposeful life, a powerful life. He's saying actually the opposite. To be filled with the Spirit, to have a powerful life, to be ruled by the Spirit of God, it is to realize in you how empty you are to the point that you need to be filled. How empty you are to the point that your fellowships must be restored, your gratitude must be restored, and your submission must be aligned. That's what the Apostle Paul is bringing the church, and it's bringing our minds to and our hearts to. Is that clear? Does that impress you as much as impresses me? Right? So let us see these three apart. Fellowship. He says, speak and sing to one another and sing to God. The singing is not only to God, but it's to one another. You saw that? You're not worshiping alone. You're worshiping with your community. Okay? Fellowship in the horizon. Fellowship in the vertical. But there is a word there that it's worthy of mentioning. Spiritual songs. Spiritual songs. Why is the Apostle Paul calling spiritual songs? Because there are some songs that are not spiritual. No, it's church song, Gustavo. Sing spiritual songs. No, but there is the mention of the name of God. Sing spiritual songs. The Apostle Paul is saying, sometimes God is in the song, but God is not the center of the song. Sometimes God is just an element in the song, but you are the center of the song, or your needs, or your wants, or whatever. Don't sing those songs. Sing spiritual songs. And where spiritual songs comes from? Speak to one another with psalms. Spiritual songs comes and flow from scriptures, not from our hearts only. There is a good aspect that the song comes from the heart, but the foundation of the song must be scriptures. Because it's scriptures which makes the song spiritual. So that's what the Apostle Paul is saying. Sing spiritual songs with one another and to God, in order that in both horizon and vertical, horizontal, right, and vertical, your relationship and fellowship is restored, is aligned, it's in the fulfillment of the Spirit. Always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thanksgiving and fulfillment of the Spirit. Very, very good illustration. I have a nice car. Ford Fiesta 2014 with so many mileages on it. Very. We often go to the mechanics. And I went to the hospital this year once, and I hope it was the last for this year. But if I go more to the mechanics, to the hospital, it is time to change the car. That's a word of wisdom, correct? Yeah. So I'm seeing. I went to mechanics already once, so I'm seeing hospital mechanics, who is going to outrun it. Anyways, I can go to the road with my humble car. And a guy on a nice car, you name it. You like cars, so you think about the car you like. You who don't like car, think about a pretty car. And so we are in the same road. My engine's lights are always on. That's how I bought it. It's okay. But this other guy, he engine slides pops up. And I'm already used to my engine slides on. I am happy no matter what with the noise of the car, with the weak AC. I'm always happy. I'm glad I'm not walking or taking the bus. I'm praising God and giving thanks to Him, as the verse 20 tells us to do. But the guy on the nice car, he sees the lights popping up and he starts to grumbling and swearing. And I pay too much money for this car and the light's already on. And this, blah, 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 blah. It is impressive that two realities, one with the humble car, the other with the nice car, and the guy who has the humble car, it's super thankful and happy. And the guy with the nice car ruined his day because of an engine light. This is human nature, right? We complain more than we think. We ask more than we think. And this is what the Apostle Paul is saying. If you pay attention, there is way more reasons to thank, to complain. There is way more reasons to thank than to request. I confess my sin. My prayer request list is greater than my thanksgiving list. And that shouldn't be. Why? Because for every request, there is at least 3 or 5 reasons that we can be giving thanks to the Lord. That's why today I took the medicine of repentance and our prayer, the moment of prayer today, it was only thanksgiving. Why? Because the Apostle Paul is telling us, be thankful. Be thankful. Learn to be thankful. Otherwise, you're going to have the nice car, the nice this, the nice there, the nice everything, and you're still going to be grumpy. If you're filled with the Spirit, you are thankful. If you're thankful, you're filling yourself with the Spirit. Be thankful. Can I hear amen, church? Amen. Submission. Being subject to one another in the fear of the Lord. And I already told you about what the Holy Spirit is leading us, not to the ego, but to Christ-centeredness. And this corrects us in 2 things we need to be aligned in our minds. If I submit to my brother, it tells me that I'm correct in 2 ways. First, I am not the Lord. I have a Lord. Correct? Because I'm submitting, it means I have a Lord. And my Lord is Jesus Christ. That's good. And the second is, if I am not the Lord, and I have the Lord, therefore my brother, my sister in Christ, they have a Lord too. And that Lord, it's not me. Therefore, I cannot be bossing, tyrannic, oppressive, manipulative. Why? Because I'm not the Lord of their lives. I'm not trying to make them do what I want them to, what I want me to make. I'm not trying to be the Lord of their lives. Why? Guess what? I'm not the Lord. I have a Lord myself. Guess what? I'm not the Lord of their lives. They have a Lord themselves. Therefore, that positions us in the ground to submission. Correct? Fellowship, thanksgiving, and submission. Third point. The fullness of the Spirit enforced. The fullness of the Spirit enforced. As the title mentioned, the commandment of the fullness of the Spirit. There is a nice illustration of Billy Graham. He went to a church as a guest speaker, and the pastor was giving the news about the church. And there is the good news and the bad news, okay? So there was the moment of the bad news. And he said, we had to put a deacon into discipline because we caught him drunk, okay? He ashamed the name of the church. He ashamed the name of the Lord. We had to put him into discipline. And Billy Graham said, well done. Good. How about the others, deacons? No. And then the pastor said, no, only him was drunk. And he said, no, I'm not asking about the drunkenness. I'm asking, are they filled with the Spirit? Are they in the fullness of the Spirit? Because if you see the text, it is one commandment with two instructions. One, it's what not to do. But there is the positive aspect of what we must do. Let us read verse 18. Do not get drunk on wine, the negative aspect, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. If you understand that the negative, it's a commandment, we also need to understand that the positive is a commandment. It is not an option. It is not an advice. You know, you should be filled with the Spirit. It is, you must be filled with the Spirit. And what does that tell us? That tells us that I pictured a picture that I really wouldn't like to picture. That the church, we can be sealed with the Spirit, baptized with the Spirit, dwelled by the Spirit, and stop there. That's not, I pictured that picture because it is a reality, but it should not be the reality. The reality and the picture I want to picture to my life, to Emmanuel, and to Christ's church overall is this. You're sealed by the Spirit, you're dwelled by the Spirit, you're baptized by the Spirit, and you're filled with the Spirit. Okay? And be filled with the Spirit, it is timeless. It is today, it is tomorrow, the next day, it is in the morning, in the afternoon, in evenings, it is timeless. Drunkenness is timely. You need to go and get drunk. But the Spirit, the fulfillment of the Spirit, it is timeless. And the commandment here is also timeless. On a very, very, very daily basis, we need to be filled with the Spirit. And I bring this sermon to a conclusion. And I always like to mention the theological debates that we have among churches, pastors, and denominations. I have a theory. If we debate too much, it's lack of work. Because once you're at work, you have no time to debate. Isn't that right? Right? Yeah. Anyways, so they debate. Is the fulfillment of the Spirit a once upon a time event, just like salvation? Is it supernatural? Is it powerful? Is it all of these debates? And once we see the Apostle Paul giving the instructions here, what he is asking us to do on a daily basis, the answer is clear. You must be filled with the Holy Spirit every single day. It is supernatural. It is. We are talking about this, the Spirit of God. It must be supernatural. But it is supernatural that is something that you can't do. No. Thanksgiving, singing songs to the Lord, submitting to one another. In other words, far from the debate, far from imposing the responsibility to God, far from all of this, The Apostle Paul is saying, if you pursue the Holy Spirit, you're going to be filled by Him. If you focus your mind on the Holy Spirit, you're going to be filled by Him. I wake up and I go to work because I must work. Because I have to bring the daily bread. I wake up and I go to grocery because I need to buy things to eat. I focus my mind and my heart on those things, and those things fill me. The daily bread come, the work come, and those things satisfy. Same way the Apostle Paul is saying, do not wait for something external. Do not wait for something supernatural. Just focus your mind in the Holy Spirit. Just do the things you know you must do to be filled with the Spirit. Just fill your cup with the Spirit of God. And He will come like to you. Just like the other things come once you pursue them, then once you pursue the Holy Spirit, He fills you. And this is what He's talking about. And this is a subject that none of us are PhD. At least I am not. I can never say, yeah, I'm super filled. Super, super, super filled. You know, yeah, follow my example. I am overflowing. Every time somebody asks me, how's your prayer life? How is your biblical Bible reading life? How is your thanksgiving your lips? All the time, the answer must be very humble. I need more. I need more. But Gustavo, it's almost overflowing the carpet. Don't care. Let Tony clean. No, I'm joking. Keep filling yourself with the Spirit. That's a subject that we are not PhD. It is just like going out, working, and getting the daily bread. You need to go and be filled with the Spirit, and the Spirit will fill you. Amen?